welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we celebrate Easter Sunday. Our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. Our reading is taken from Matthew 28, and you can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning. Before the reading, we'll say this together. Please join in the words in bold. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. So the reading is from Matthew 28, the resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. Now go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they ran to him, held his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning, and this is the first time you come to this church, or you're visiting and you've forgotten my name, I'm the vicar here at St. James. My name is Fabian, and it's a privilege to look again at this account of the resurrection. Let's maybe start to pray as we ask God to speak into our minds and hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and make the living reality of Jesus Christ real today in our minds and in our hearts, that we may know there is true hope. Nothing is impossible for you, God. Do your work today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I invite you to look at that story, that account of the woman first and then the disciples experiencing the risen Christ, the risen Jesus. And I want to take you on a journey, that journey from trembling hearts at the tomb to bold witnesses of the risen Christ. And I want to do that through three movements, actually three phrases that we find in the reading this morning. The first one is, do not be afraid. The second is, come and see. And the third is, go and tell. So let's start with, do not be afraid. If you go to a dictionary, it says that fear is an emotional response to a perceived or real threat or danger, often causing anxiety, worry, or a desire to escape. And in Greek, you might know that the word for fear is phobos, which is the root for many English speaking about various type of fear. So let's try out how many of those you might know and recognize. If I say you arachnophobia, that's the fear of?
Spiders.
Well done. If I say acrophobia, that's the fear of?
Spaces.
Yes. No, more difficult. If I say cynophobia, that's the fear of? A bit louder? No, cyno. It's not cyberphobia. Well, cyberphobia should be right. Well, I hope I have it right, but it seems that cynophobia is the fear of dogs. Have you heard that one before? And more difficult, ophidiophobia. What's ophidiophobia? Supposedly, that's the fear of snakes. No, we have some biology. Yeah, ophibio? Makes sense? Makes sense, huh? There we go. So essentially, lots of words ending with phobia kind of speaks about some of those fears. Much of our news and our feeds today are grounded in fear and uncertainty. Conflicts between nations, economic instability, the rise of living costs, the warnings about global crisis, the kind of apocalyptic predictions about the state of our planet. But then, of course, there are those more personal fears, the fear of illness, the fear of failure, the fear of loneliness, the fear of not being enough. And fear is actually very much at the heart of today's reading. We're told that there was a violent earthquake. The ground shook, the guards trembled in terror and became like dead men. And the word here in the original is seismos, that comes from seismic. It was a seismic event. The whole of the cosmos shook at the resurrection. And Matthew used that same word actually in an early story that many, many members here of St. James might know, the account of Jesus calming the storm. The disciples, if you don't know the story, are in a boat, and they are on the lake that is well known for being treacherous and dangerous, and that wind can quickly make life in danger if you're in a boat. And so waves are crashing over them, and they're convinced they're going to die. That's it. But Jesus is with them. And where is Jesus? Asleep. And so in panic, they're waking up and they say, Lord, save us. And that same question is asked by Jesus. Surprisingly, he says, why are you afraid? Do not be afraid. Not because the storm was not real, it really was, but because they had forgotten who was with them. And so maybe the same question reaches us today. What am I afraid of? Why am I afraid? Why are you afraid? And it's not a criticism, it's an invitation. We hear that at the resurrection, the guards froze in terror. But the woman, though they were also afraid, moved forward. Same event, but different response. Into that fear of the first Easter morning, God's messenger speaks, "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead." And moment later in our reading, Jesus himself says to his friends, to his disciples, "Don't be afraid, but go and tell my brothers." And actually, "don't be afraid" isn't a one-off sentence. It's one of the most common command in the whole of Scripture. Possibly over 350, and some says that actually is about 365 times. I don't really sure about that. But as if God is saying, this is the command we need to remember and to tell ourselves every day. 365 times a year. We need to remind ourselves not to be afraid, because Christ is alive and he is with us. You might know Corinthian Bohm, a well-known person who went through the concentration camp and had an incredible story to tell. But she says, "Fears and worries do not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It will still happen, but it empties today of its strength." You see what worries and fears do to us? It doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. Do not be afraid. And here are some of the promises we can hold on that Jesus spoke directly into to deal with fears. He said, "I am with you to the very end." Fear loses its grip when we know that Jesus is with us right now. In whatever circumstances, challenges that you are facing, Christ is with you. "I have overcome the world." In John, he says, "In this world, you will have trouble." You will. Not you may, you will. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." "Peace, peace I leave with you," Jesus says. "My peace I give you. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" God is the one who provides. He knows you. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." We can place our burdens, our worries in his hand. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock at the door and it will be opened to you." God hears our prayer. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The Holy Spirit comes and gives us strength to face our inadequacies and weaknesses. He empowers us to live a life of witness. Each of these promises show us that fear does not have the last word. But there is also another important phrase in this Easter passage, and it is, "Come and see." Come and see. Faith is not blind. It invites investigation. It says, "Look, consider, reflect." And in this very passage, we have some of the strong evidence that the resurrection is a historical reality. It's not a story that has been invented by the disciples. The first clue is in the very witnesses. Woman, in our passage, Mary Magdalene and some other women were there. They're the first to see the empty tomb. They're the first to hear the message from the angel that Christ is risen. And the first commission to tell others. Now, if you know something about the culture of the time, you wouldn't put as your main witness woman. They had no legal ground as witnesses. If you were to invent a story, you would have put the disciples, Peter. But no, they were true to what happened, and so they told the story. And then there is the empty tomb, which is a historical fact. And in another gospel, we learned that the linen cloths were lying there, and the face cloth was folded separately. Now, that shows that the tomb wasn't robbed. It wasn't invaded, the body wasn't stolen, because that's the first things they would have taken. The body had no value, but that had value. No, the tomb was empty, and it requires an explanation. And then we have the appearances, and we hear one of those in our reading. Jesus showed himself to his disciples on various occasions. One without Thomas, and Thomas says, well, I won't believe unless I see him and I'm able to put my finger into the places where the nails were put. Two people walking on a road to Emmaus experience Jesus alive. Paul would say at one point, 500 people together saw Jesus alive. That's not an hallucination. If you have hallucination, it's only you and whatever you are seeing. You can't share hallucination with other people. You can't see the same thing at the same time. And it's not just dream. Thomas touched. See, I'm not a ghost. It was bodily. Peter had breakfast with Jesus. How do we explain? And then there is this radical transformation of Jesus' followers. If you remember, after his death, all the disciples, they disappeared. They were afraid. They were in hiding. And yet something changed. A few weeks after, they were boldly going public, saying with confidence, he is alive. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And that was the core message of the Christian faith. That was there at the very beginning. The resurrection wasn't a later addition. It was central from its start. Great Christian leader Paul would put it so bluntly. He said, if Jesus didn't rise, then Christianity is of no consequences. Don't even bother. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, there is no forgiveness, no hope, no meaning. Don't bother with Christianity. In other words, it isn't just a side belief, it's everything. It's the foundation of our Christian hope. Christian rest on the resurrection as an historical fact. Without it, the whole message collapses. So come and see. Find out for yourself. And then go and tell. Twice, Jesus says, first the messenger, go and tell to the woman, and then Jesus to the disciples, go and tell. This is where responsibility begins, not just for the first followers, but for all of us who have experienced the risen Christ. It's to live in such a way that through our words and actions and presence, other notices that something is different. There is something there. It's not a call to perfection. We don't live flawless life, and our faith is not flawless. But something real, something that points others to hope and peace and the risen Christ. And that's what happened to me. When I was 13, I joined a Christian youth group, and I wasn't looking particularly for God. Faith wasn't on my radar. I didn't have any kind of strong belief, whether I believe in God or disbelief, and wasn't just something I was thinking about. I really went because I had fun games, activities, nice snacks, friendship, give me something to do on Friday evening. And honestly, at first, I found a lot of it a bit silly. the Bible stories, the prayers, the songs, it all seems for me a little bit ridiculous. And yet, over the month, I started to notice that those Christians had something I didn't have. There was something in them that I knew I was missing. They first believed what they taught. It was not just words for them. There's something that they were living. But also there was a sense of joy and peace and a love. I didn't know why would they do that? Why would they spend so much of their energy freely to be with us and certainly me, and give them a hard time at the beginning. So very interesting. We were such a difficult group. We were really difficult. Can you imagine your vicar, being difficult? Watch out. The evening that actually God met me was a story. I won't have time, but a story of John 10, where it says, I know my sheep. I have this, but there are other sheep, and they don't know. They don't know me yet, but I'm calling them, and I felt God was calling me that evening, and I gave my life. Later on, I learned from the leaders that if that hadn't happened, they would have stopped. That was the last Friday they were going to do because we were so difficult. I thought they hadn't seen any fruit, for about 2 years. So don't give up. Never give up. But I could see something in those Christians, and that started my journey. People will see something in you. The peace, the joy, the hope you carry. And maybe that's you today. Maybe faith is something a little bit strange for you. Maybe you're an agnostic. Maybe you're unsure whether God exists or not, whether we can actually know him. Maybe we're skeptical. How can this be true? Someone come back to life? Maybe you delusioned, disappointed, or maybe simply like me in the beginning, not really interested. And yet, you have noticed something in a Christian friend. You are seeing something in a Christian family member. You see something in a Christian colleague. Not perfection, they're not perfect, but they look different. There is something in them, something of peace, something of joy, something, a sense of purpose. That's Christ in us, the living hope, the transformation of the living Christ. I hope that curiosity, that question, also starts you on that journey that I had when I was 13. That first spark is actually God's invitation for you to look closer, to be open, to take the next step. And I want to say, don't let this time pass. Today is the time for you maybe to make a step. And I wonder whether you would consider those few options. It's kind of a pick and choose. One is we want to create space in this church to people who have questions, who look for meanings, who wants to discover who this Jesus is, and it's called the Alpha Course. And it's a place where you can come as you are, bring your questions. We're watching a video, and it's about stories, various stories, people who are scientists, and realize, I never really took the time to look at those questions. People who had it all, and they realized they were still feeling empty. Famous people that you might recognize on screen, or people who have completely different backgrounds with drugs and gangs, and how their lives have been transformed by the risen Christ. So just to whet your appetites, I know some of you have seen the video on Friday and maybe before, but this is just to give you an idea.
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strive to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
The cards at the back with QR code just show your interest. So we're starting on the 15th of April. If you can't do this one, you can still leave your contact details. We try to do 3 times a year. And if you're not from Taunton, but you hear about Alpha wherever you live, I would recommend it's a great place to discover the Christian faith. Another thing you might want is to take actually, the story of Jesus. This is free, and it will be on your way back. It's the Mark Gospel, one of the biographies, and it's really nice. It reads like a magazine, so that might be one way for you to respond today. And there is so much available now through your phone or on your TV, and can I maybe just suggest 2 things? You might have heard of the series called The Chosen. Again, you might not be very good, you know, you just said, oh, you know, I don't like reading, but I'm good at listening or watching. So The Chosen is a series, it's 5 seasons, and it's the life of Jesus through the eyes of his disciples. That's why it's called The Chosen, they were chosen. And it's really great, really well done. You can see it on Netflix or on Amazon Prime, or you can have it on YouTube, or you can download it on your phone for free. So if you're interested, there is those little cards, again, with QR code. If you have an Android or an Apple, you can. And there is also the Bible app. So you can listen to the Bible. If you're driving or you're walking home, you can do that. So hopefully there is something for you to respond to. For others this morning, I think the message is simple. It's to hear again the words of Jesus, not to be afraid. That Jesus is with us always. He has overcome the world. He leaves us his peace. He holds our future. He provides for our needs. He hears our prayers. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit. And he calls us beloved. But these words are not just for your comfort. They're there to call us to courage. They're there to lead us to actions, to go and tell others. To go and tell doesn't mean you have to preach from the pulpit, doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. It basically means live your life in the way that manifests God's love, God's peace, God's hope in your everyday life. Share your story. Tell others what Jesus has done for you, even in small ways. And be present. Be present to others with kindness, pointing others to the one who has overcome death and fear. So today, hear those words of Jesus afresh. Don't be afraid. Come and see. Go and tell. Go and live boldly and let the resurrection transform your fears into hope, your doubts into action, and your life into a message others can see and hear. Amen.
Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from Nigel Bright, our church warden, entitled, Are We Ready?